Open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll be in the book of Ephesians almost entirely this morning. Tell you what, it is a gorgeous day outside, isn't it? I know we have hearts that are grieving and lives that are difficult, but days like this just make you feel good, and it's just good to be with God's people today. What I'd like to do this morning is continue our series of questions about basic questions about the gospel message, and we'd like to ask this question today: why do I need the church? Remember, this is building up from this idea of grace we developed a few weeks ago. In asking the question, you know, what about suffering? Last week we looked, why do I need Jesus? And what I'd like to do this morning is ask the question, why do I need the church? Before we get to answering this question, I want us to recognize what the present circumstance is. When we look generally, and I'm making a stereotype here, but trying to make an induction about various observations I've made, the present circumstance seems to me to be this: many want Christ, but not the church. Last week we talked about the reason that we need Jesus is because I cannot save myself. We have two choices. Either I humble myself and then through faith ask Jesus to save me, or I think I'm good enough by myself that I will save myself and I don't need a Savior. I'm good enough by myself. That's our two choices. When we look at the question of why we need the church, I don't think it's just that simple. What I would like to do is I would like to read an excerpt from an article from the Christian Science Monitor. This was actually back in 2015. The Monitor had an article that asked this very question. Why are so many leaving the church? And I would like to read just an excerpt that I think explains the present circumstance fairly well. Kyle Rice pretty much stopped going to church a few years ago. But the marriage and family therapist in Torrington, Wyoming, has hardly abandoned his Christian faith or his deep longing to share it with others and experience God's love with a community of believers. Mr. Rice, who is in his late 20s, has simply found that what he calls the Sunday morning experience, that is the traditional institutions of Christianity, no longer works for him. The reasons he feels this way are as complex as any individual's earnest spiritual journey. But one reason he stopped attending church, he said, is that it came to hinder many of the meaningful relationships in his life, especially when sharing himself and his faith and connecting with those who may not believe as he does. I didn't want to invite the people that I was first exploring a conversation of spirituality with to church anymore, says Rice, who was raised in a fundamentalist Baptist home and then pursued a life full-time in ministry and still maintains his mostly conservative evangelical faith. I didn't want them to see walking with God as a relationship of judgment and jumping through hoops, that it was more about behavioral management or sin management. You know, the place where I have seen God more than all others were places like a river while fly fishing, or backpacking with a group of teens, or sitting at a pub with a group of guys from the UK and South Africa talking about life, he adds. Rice's frustrations are at the crux of a growing disconnect between the historical religious institutions in our increasingly pluralistic society. Rice's story, I think, in many ways is the rule rather than the exception. There were many that I attended a Christian college with about 5-6 years ago who have since left the church. If you ask them, they are still religious, they still serve Christ, and they still seek to please God, they just don't need the church. They're fed up with organized religion, they're fed up with Sunday morning religion, and want a religion of Christ rather than a religion of the church. Well, my question then is this: why do I need the church? I mean, what Kyle Rice said is, again, not uncommon. The article goes on to say, roughly 30 million Americans are former churchgoers who nevertheless maintain their faith in God and their Christian identity, according to Professor Packard, who coined the term. According to this research, another 7 million are almost done with institutional religion. So we have in our country an estimate about 30 million are still religious but done with church. Another 7 million are almost done with church. Why then do I need the church? In a country of about 320 million people, over 30 million have left, 7 more million want to leave. Why then do I need the church? Can't I just serve Christ without all this organized religion stuff? Do I really need this building and this group and this people to serve Christ? Can I do it on an individual basis? Like Kyle, can I just go out fly fishing or go to a pub or have good conversations with friends and find Christ in that manner? Why do I need the church? The means that we're going to do it is this morning. I would like to look at four different metaphors of the church in the book of Ephesians. Paul uses various metaphors, that is, picture phrases, of what the church is in the book of Ephesians. And I'd like to use those as a means for us to understand why I do indeed need the church. Before we ask the question, why do I need the church, I think we have to ask the question, what is the church? And quite simply, I think the easiest way to define the church is this. The church is the assembly of the saved. As you go throughout the New Testament, that is how the term is used. It is the assembly, the called out, the group of the saved. Here I say it is sometimes used in a complete sense, another time in a subset sense in the New Testament. Let me explain what I mean by this. Sometimes in the Bible, the term church refers to all those of all time who've ever been saved. Christ on the day of judgment will bring the church to him to heaven, with him to heaven. The church is all the saved. Other times in the Bible, the church refers to a local group, like we have here, the Manzik Road Church of Christ. Other times, it refers to a smaller group of a family. It sometimes refers to everybody. Other times, refers to a subset, a smaller group. But in any case, the church always refers to some level of assembly of the saved. And when we look at the assembly of the saved, here is my main urge I want us to keep in mind as we go through this lesson. The question I'm trying to answer this morning is not why I need an organization. But ultimately, when I ask the question, why do I need the church? Here's the question I'm asking. Why do I need the people of Christ? This is the critical question we have to ask. We must not think of the church like a gym. I've realized that many in my generation, and generation beyond me, think of church more like joining a gym. Whenever you seek to place a gym membership, you're going somewhere where overarchingly, you're going to be left to yourself. There's the materials you may need to help you every once in a while. There's a few friends you may make, but overarchingly you don't want to talk to anybody. Rather, you just want your earbuds in your ears so you don't have to listen to anybody or talk to anybody. And I think that's how we think of church. It's just like picking a church is like picking a gym. I go to one where I can be left alone. I go to one where I can get my business done, and then I'm good. No, we must think of the church not in terms of an organization, but in terms of the people. Now, certainly, the people can make up an organization in a local sense. But, brethren, when I ask the question, why do I need the church? It's not like asking, why do I need a gym or why do I need an organization? The question in the New Testament sense that we must ask is, why do I need the people of Christ? And the way that I want to look at it this morning is this. Last week, we recognized the only way that we are saved is if we recognize I must humble myself and then Christ will exalt me and Christ will save me. I can never by my own work be good enough to be saved. I must humble myself through faith and let the grace of God save me. Likewise, I want us to take this same dichotomy between self-exaltation and being exalted and apply it to the church. Why do I need this group of people? Am I good enough by myself without the assembly of the saved? Or, for some reason, do I need this assembly of the saved? Am I good enough without it? Or, for some reason, do I actually need them? So that's the question I want us to ask. Now let's begin with the first of our four metaphors. The first metaphor used in the book of Ephesians is the church is described as the temple of God. Let's read in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. What are we? Verse 22, we are now the dwelling place of God. The first metaphor he uses this of the church is this. The church is now God's dwelling place among humanity. This would be a great sermon sometime. If you look at the dwelling place of God throughout the Bible, from Genesis 3 all the way to Revelation 22, God originally in Genesis 1 and 2 is with mankind in the garden. There's a close relationship with him. Then, as you get throughout the patriarchs, the relationship of God is going to be one amongst the families. Then, throughout the entire history of Israel, God dwells among mankind through the Ark of the Covenant. Essentially, we are the New Testament Ark of the Covenant. God has decided to dwell among mankind through the church. Again, not just through an organization, but through the people. Through the people of God, through the saved, God has decided to dwell among mankind. And that, for me, is one of the, just the most mind-blowing facts. That God has decided to dwell among mankind, not in a great edifice, not in a great building, not even in a great physical organization, but God has decided to dwell among mankind through the saved, through the church. And likewise, then, I think the reason that we recognize we need the church is we need the church to worship God. I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 2. This is one of the few verses outside Ephesians we're going to look at. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Where you're being built up as a spiritual house. And what is the purpose of this spiritual house? The purpose is to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So let's go back to our two options. Self-exaltation versus being exalted. If I seek to exalt myself and claim I don't need the church, here's what I think the conclusion of that statement is. God is content to dwell in me by myself, and I don't need to be connected with anybody else to worship God. I can worship him however I please, and God is going to dwell among me because I by myself am great enough for God to dwell among me. However, when I humble myself and recognize, yes, I do need the church, here's what that statement says. I by myself am not great enough a vessel for God to dwell among mankind. I may be a shingle, Ben may be a wall, Kirby may be a door, Angie may be a picture, Helen may be another door. We can take the metaphor on. But I want us to be joined together to where we together are giving God a beautiful temple where he can make his dwelling place known among mankind. When I seek to exalt myself, what I'm saying is, I by myself want to give God a stationary house where he can dwell amongst mankind. Whenever I humble myself and let Christ exalt me, I say this. No, I want to give God as glorious of an edifice as I can. And so I am going to be joined to the church and give God as magnificent of a spiritual building that I can because of my connection to the rest of the church. And then when we are connected, then when God dwells among mankind through the joined church of Jesus Christ, then we offer up to God true, pleasing, acceptable worship. Where do we want God to dwell? Do we want God to dwell among mankind or just me? Or do we want to join ourselves to the others and give God a beautiful temple and a magnificent temple with thousands of hallways and thousands of doors and millions of hallways to go through where God has a beautiful large temple among mankind where he can dwell? So why do I need the church? It's not out of selfishness here, but it's because I want to give God the due worship that I think he is worthy of. The second metaphor is this. We are not only the temple of God, but we are indeed also the bride of Christ. Let's go to chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul here explains that now the church is the bride of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 will begin in verse 25. 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Let's pick up in verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. The metaphor that Christ used, that Paul uses in this metaphor is this: Christ is the groom, we are the bride, and we are spiritually joined to him. Marriage is the most intimate of relationships that God has given, even above a parent-child relationship, above sibling relationships, above any other relationship. The most intimate of relationships that God has sanctified is the husband-wife relationship. And I think the reason Paul uses this metaphor is to illustrate the intimacy that Christ has with his church. Now, this obviously is a spiritual intimacy, but it's a closeness, it's a connection. And I want us to know what Christ does for the church. Christ, in verse 26, sanctifies her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without any spot or wrinkle or such thing, that she might be holy and blameless. What is Christ going to do? Christ sanctifies and cleanses so that we may be presented to him. It is this image of the bride being beautified, being made holy, being set apart for her bridegroom. And then, once the relationship begins, verse 29, Christ nourishes and cherishes the church. So why is Christ the groom and we're the bride? It is because we are in fellowship with him, to use a spiritual word. We are in fellowship, connection, association, intimacy with Christ. And the reason that we need the church is this: we need the church because Christ nourishes us. Whenever I say, I don't want to be a part of the church, self-exaltation, I can nourish myself. I can feed myself. I can get through this life hunky-dory all by myself, and I'll be fine. However, whenever I humble myself and let Christ exalt me, I say this: I need the nourishment of Jesus Christ. I need, verse 29, the cherishing of Christ. When I am with the people of God, Christ nourishes me and Christ cherishes me, and he will present us up to him in splendor. So we need the temple of God because we want to give God the worship that he's due. And that one illustrates our desire to please God and to worship him. But this metaphor illustrates the reason we need the church is because we are famished without it. We are famished without the church. We are famished without Christ, and we will spiritually die without his church. Number three, the church is the body of Christ. That one is already used in chapter 5. It says in chapter 5, beginning in verse 27, down in verse 30, we are members of his body. We are indeed members of his body. And this metaphor is used in another place as well. Let's go to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 22. Christ, the Father put all things under Christ's feet and gave Christ his head over all things to the church, which is the body of Christ, the fulfillment of Christ who fills all in all. The third metaphor that Paul uses is this: we are the body of Christ. And his image is this: Christ is the head, we are his body. Well, how does a body and a head operate? The head, of course, is the center of thought, the center of emotion, the center of will, the center of desire. The head, I may have said heart a minute ago, but I meant head. The head controls the body. Why can I move my hand? It's because my mind tells me to. Why can I move the foot and about fall off the stage every other week? It's because my head tells me to. The head is the center of thought, desire, will, etc. But the body allows it to be completed. We are now the hands of Jesus Christ. Christ has ascended up to heaven. And through the leaving of the Holy Spirit and through the inspiration of the Word by the Spirit, Christ has given His will. The head has communicated to the body what it wants the body to do. We now must be the hands of Christ. We must be the feet of Christ. We must be the elbows of Jesus Christ. Because Christ is in heaven, but He has left His body on this earth to do His will, to complete His desires, and to complete His thoughts. Again, this image of a body illustrates the interdependence that must exist as with the temple. And ultimately, I think the reason we need Christ, I want to look at this one in two ways, is this. Just as we fulfill His plan, we need the headship of Christ. I want to look at this one in two perspectives. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. There is an interdependent relationship between the body and the head, right? I mean, you can't have a head without a body. You can't have a body without a head. It just doesn't work that way. Likewise, the body and the head fulfill each other. I preached a sermon on this a few months ago, and I'm not going to take time to go in this in depth, but this is to me one of the most amazing thoughts. I will look at the 3:10 passage first. Chapter 3, verse 10. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God may be now made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Through the church, the head has fulfilled His will. The church is the testimony to the spiritual realm. To the rulers and authorities in the spiritual realm, we are the evidence of the wisdom of God. That is a mind-blowing fact. God has used the church to illustrate His wisdom to the spiritual realm. God can show the angels and the rulers and authorities in the spiritual realm, look what I have done to these people. I have taken them out of the pit of sin, and I have brought them to the light of my word. And if my saving power can save them, my wisdom works. We fulfill the plan of God. We show God's plan works. But just as we illustrate the complete fulfillment of Jesus Christ, we must recognize we need His headship. I want us to go to chapter 4 and look at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Actually, I want to back up to verse 14. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, by deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly so that the body grows, that it builds itself up in love. Why do we need the church? It's because the body cannot work without the church. The head may have all the desires and will that is utterly perfect, but unless the perfect will of God is completed through an imperfect body that He has sanctified and made perfect, the will of God is never going to be done. Brethren, the reason I need the church is the same reason I need Jesus Christ. I need His headship. And just as the will of Christ is now done through His body, I have to humble myself and recognize I can't do this by myself. The image here is the body building itself up in love, a body growing, a body flourishing, a body maturing. Not a body that is tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Whenever I say I'm good enough and I exalt myself, here's my thought. I don't need the church. I can do the will of God all by myself. I can complete God's will in this life all by myself. I, by my own volition, I, by my own wisdom, I, by my own strength, am able to do fully the will of God. Whenever, no, I humble myself and allow Christ to exalt me, here's what I claim. I am a little pinky, and I need the rest of the fingers, and I need a hand, and I need a wrist, so that I can more fully do the will of God. I, by a pinky, may be able to lift up a bag, and I may be able to do a little bit of work, but I can't type with a pinky. I can't write with a pinky. I can't shave with a pinky. I can't do basically any basic functions with just a pinky. The only way for me to be able to more fully do Christ's will is if I, the pinky, join myself to a few other fingers, and I join myself to a hand, and that hand joins itself to a wrist, that wrist joins itself to an arm, which joins itself to a shoulder, which joins itself to the body, which joins itself to the leg, which joins itself to the feet, and then we together may more fully do the will of Christ. Whenever a pinky's off by itself, it can get carried away by anything. Whenever a pinky's put together with a full body, you're not going to move it. It's not going to come off that easily. It's not just going to be taken away by the wind. It is conjoined. Brethren, the reason we need the church is because we must recognize our dependence on the people of God. We must recognize our dependence on the people of God, that I by my own self am not great enough to do the will of Christ. Rather, I need to work with and I need to be collaborative with those who are seeking to do the will of Christ, that God's will may be done through the body. And that is the infinite, eternal plan of God, that the head may work through the body. The final metaphor I will look at is this. We are not only the temple, we are not only the bride of Christ, and we are certainly not only the body of Christ, but we are now the family of God. And this, I think, is one of the most powerful images that is given in the book of Ephesians. Paul says in Ephesians 2, in verse 19, "You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with saints and members of the family of God." We are fellow members of the family, the household of God. Brethren, we are now God's family. What is the only thing that Christ gained when he came to earth? Christ left heaven where he had all glory. The only thing that Christ gained when he came down to earth and died on Calvary was he gained us. Christ gained a family. Christ gained brothers and sisters, and he gained men. Subjects, that's the word I was trying to think of. He, the great king, had subjects in his kingdom. He, the great ruler, now had people in his rule. But he, the Son of God, is now brethren with the sons of God and with the daughters of God. We are the family of God. God, for the rest of eternity, wants his family with him. And brethren, the reason I need the church is this. Just as God wants his family with him, we need the church for belonging and uplifting. We'll look at this verse in a second. But if I exalt myself, here's what I claim. I don't need a family. I am good enough to do everything that God wants me to by myself. If I want to, using his words, find God fly fishing, find God in a pub, and do God's will that way, I'm good enough. But whenever I recognize, no, I need the people of God, here's what I claim. I need a family. I am lost and alone in this world, and I have nobody that loves me. But God is going to show me his love through his people. God is going to show me his family through his children. God is going to take me in as an adopted son and join me to his family. And brethren, one reason I think that so many are leaving the church is they never truly understand what the church can be. The church is, can be, and should be the family of God. And I do want to make one note about this for the universal and local sense. I said at the beginning, the term church in the New Testament can refer to a collective sense, an exhaustive sense, all those who've ever been saved. It can also refer to a subset, a small group of those who work together. Brethren, yes, universally, we are brethren with all those who've ever been saved. I am a brother to Paul the Apostle. I am a brother to Peter the Apostle. I am a brother to Mary. Martha is my sister. That's a mind-blowing thought. That for all of eternity, I am going to get to be a brother to Paul. We don't get to choose our physical family. And I have a few cousins I would like to get rid of. But brethren, we get to be spiritual brethren with the most holy of people. And universally, that's our family. And for all of eternity, we are going to be with our family. For those of us who come from loving families, there is nothing in this world that is better than spending time with family that you love. Nothing better. And for all of eternity, I'm going to get to be with my family. But brethren, locally, we are a family. If I can illustrate it this way, my grandfather, Johnny, had three children, Rhonda, Donna, and David. I am David's son. I am, in a sense, a part of Johnny's family, right? Just as all my cousins are as well. We are all a part of Johnny's family. But there's also a sense in which I am David's son. There's a big family, but there's also various little parts of the family, right? I grew up in Bowling Green. I had an aunt that grew up that brought her family up in Smith's Grove. Another aunt brought hers up in Bee Spring. Three different locations of family. Locally, we are a family. And brethren, locally, I want us to recognize we are a family. Whenever we say that we are a member of the Manslick Road Church of Christ, here again is what I'm afraid that we mean. We say member in the same sense of, I'm a member of Planet Fitness. I'm a member of the Manslick Road Church of Christ. I pay my dues, I give my collection, I give what's asked of me, I do my work, and I'm a member. Great. Brethren, that's not what the term member means in the New Testament. The term member actually is used in the book of Ephesians. Sometimes it's said, now the term membership's not a New Testament word. It is a New Testament word. We are members of his body. We are members of the family of God. And locally, brethren, we are members together here of God's family. And brethren, one of the goals of the elders and one of my goals as well is I want us to think of each other and treat one another as family. I'm not going to just go join my aunt's family. Yes, she's certainly a part of the Cummings family. But I have, as an adult, decided to be a part of David's family. Christmas morning, I'm going to be with David's family. I'm not going to be with Donna's family. I'm with David's family. Is Donna still a Cummings and lots of good things go on? Absolutely. Do I still love her and hope that her family flourishes and hope that everything that they do is great? Absolutely. Do I want Rhonda's family to do well and do I want them to love each other and uplift each other? Absolutely. But I'm a part of David's family. And we are members of his family. And brethren, if I may just go just a step further, just looking at things that have happened here over the last couple of years, I have no particular instance in mind. Let me just say that. But you just don't get up and leave your family. You don't just leave your family. You stay with your family. My sister makes me so mad sometimes. We used to fight like cats and dogs. We love each other now most of the time. But there's a few times she's just difficult to get along with. I'm always perfect. But I mean, there's just a few times that, good gracious, she just makes me madder than a hornet. There was one, I won't go into it. But we are part of a family. Through thick and thin, we're a family. Through difficult times, we're a family. And I'm not going to leave my family no matter how mad they make me because I'm a part of a family. So brethren, why do I need the church? Well, if we look at one of my favorite verses in Hebrews chapter 3. Here, the Hebrew writer, he mentions to his audience, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if we indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Why do I need a family? It's because I need a place to belong and I need my family to uplift me. My family may make me madder than a hornet at times. There is nobody in this world that can make you madder than a sibling. But there is no one that can show you their love more than a parent, than a spouse, than a sibling, than a cousin. Your family lifts you up. They tear you down. But they lift you up and they want you to succeed. Brethren, why have Jessica and I joined this church family? It's because we need you to uplift us. And we want to be a part of God's family here. So why then do I need the church? Well, here's what I think we must recognize. Just as we are saved once, we are humbled ourselves and are exalted by God. Again, I can't save myself. Only when I recognize Christ can exalt me. Here's what we must recognize with the church. We can continue faithfully only once we recognize we need His people to mutually support and strive for salvation. I need y'all and y'all need me. That is not a statement of self-importance. It's a statement of fact. We need one another. We need one another to strive. We need one another to seek. We need one another to uplift so that the temple can be as large and beautiful to offer up worship to God. So that Christ can have a bride that is given to Him over in sanctity. So that the body of Christ may not be some puny little pinky, but it may be a full body that is able to do the will of the head. And so that the family of God may strive together in unison and in peace. That, brethren, is why we need the church. Get out your songbooks, please. So why do I need the church? Well, I don't know Kyle Rice. No idea who he is. He was in the article, and I'm sure I will never meet. But if I had a chance to talk to Kyle, here's what I would tell him. Kyle, you may think that you have found God in fly fishing or alone at a pub, or you think you may be tired of Sunday morning religion and fed up with institutional religion, but I think Kyle has completely misunderstood what the church is. Kyle, please understand, when you say you want Christ but not the church, ultimately, what you're saying is this. You don't want the head to have a body. You don't want the bridegroom to have a bride. You don't want God to have a temple. You don't want God to have a family. When we say that we don't need the church, we are depriving God of what is the completion of His infinite will and what is the completion of His eternal plan. We need the church because we seek to please God. And we seek together to follow Him, to worship Him, to please Him. And together and communally, we work together as a family, as a temple, as a bride, and as His body to do the will of God. Kyle, that's what you need to know about why you need the church. To get to church, to get to the church, it's not coming to a building, but it's coming to the people. And the only way to get into the church is not by paying a membership fee, and it's not by paying yearly dues. It is by Acts 2, 38 through 42, the image there of Christ taking those who were lost and adding them to His body. The only way for me to get into this body is for Christ to take me out of sin and to take me over to light. For Christ to take me out of sin and to deliver me over to the ways of goodness. For Christ to take me out of the world and to deliver me into the church. There are one of two bodies that I am currently in. I am either in the world or I am in the church. For me to get from the world to the church, I have to humble myself, recognize I cannot save myself, but I can access it through faith and through baptism. God will shower upon me His spiritual blessings, including the greatest of salvation, and God will then take me from the world and He will deliver me to the church. And then I can be with a local family, a local body that wants to do God's will, that wants to do His plan, and wants to be the hand that does the will of the mind. If anybody wants to come forward and respond to the gospel message, come forward while we stand and while we sing.